Welcome to the Retired Podcast. I'm Riley.
And I'm Noah.
We're former professional athletes turned to parents and business owners.
We created this podcast to talk about sports, life, and everything in between.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get to it.
Welcome back to the Retired Podcast. We are finally bringing to you the part two of the recruiting podcast we did like several weeks ago.
Yeah.
So sorry for this delay. But we're going to switch it up. We're going to do it more from the lens of how you go about picking a school. I feel like the last episode we did on recruiting, we covered a lot of how to get recruited, like how to get the attention of scouts. But it's also important to know what you want.
Yeah. It's about you. It's your career. Today is August 1st or 2nd, but yesterday was August 1st, and that's an exciting time for a lot of baseball players. I know it's September 1st for softballers, mm-hmm. But I want to say 2027s. Today is the first day that you could be contacted by colleges. So hopefully a lot of players out there getting some calls today. And if you are, congrats, it's exciting. Welcome to kind of the phase we're about to talk about, which is recruiting part two of, okay, I've done the things that I needed to do to put myself on the radar, and now it's my turn to kind of sit back and reap the reward a little bit. This is a really fun time because, I don't know, it's nice to feel wanted, and you've got, like, hopefully on a big scale, but maybe even on a small scale, like, schools and coaches competing for you, and it's just a fun time. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that looks like, how the things that are exciting about it, but what not to be, I don't want to say fooled by, but just like what not to get too excited about, things that are truly deeper than surface level that really matter for what you're about to get yourself into and what you're about to commit to. So exciting times though. And if that is you right now, congratulations, your hard work's paid off. So this is important.
Not really. This is where the hard work actually begins.
Well, your hard work until this point has paid off. So that being said, okay, go ahead. I was going to ask you what made you pick
A&M. I think it's important, but if you haven't already, and if you're playing baseball, it's too late for you now because August 1st already passed. But if you're a softball player, of course, here it comes.
Every time. Go on.
If you're a softball player, September 1st is just right around the corner. You still have time. If you're a baseball player, do this like yesterday. You need to make a list of 5 to 10 schools that you would actually be interested in playing for. And they can be D1, they can be D2, D3, JUCO, does not matter. But you need to come up with a list, and we'll talk about kind of what the things on the list should look like or why the school should be on the list. There are 6 reasons to go to a school.
Really?
And it's important. And I'm an organized person, and I like lists. They help me feel organized.
I did not have a list.
But it's easy to let your emotions kind of take over in this era of your life because it is so exciting. And you feel like, you know, it's just right around the corner. And it is. But we need to think logically about a lot of these things, especially one of the things on the list is very important.
Let's get into the list.
Here's the list. Number one, what degree options does the school have?
Oh my gosh, we're just starting with school out of the gate.
It is school. Everyone always says you're a student first, athlete second.
How many uniform combinations do they have? Like, who's the uniform sponsor? Am I going to get to wear Clemson cut because I'm sponsored by Nike? Like,
anyways, if you want to be
things that really matter,
a lawyer, and you really like this one school because, like, maybe your parents went there or whatever, but they don't have pre-law or they don't have the degree that you need to further your life, you might have to second guess that school. It's just kind of how it is.
Yeah.
I know Noah was really thinking about his degree when he chose UTA.
No, you want to know what? Actually, true story. a part of my decision was that they offered not a degree in real estate. It was a mm-hmm. business degree with a minor in real estate. I was like, I didn't know that you can minor in real estate. But at the time, me having no idea what I wanted to do. I just was like, real estate's always something that is stable. People always need housing. So I was going into college with the plan of a business major. And when I saw that there's a real estate minor, I was like, wow, that's nice. I never knew that was a thing. So that was something actually that drew me towards school. So yes, your point is valid. But the uniform combos is nice too.
When I was picking between schools, my top three, I would say, are probably Stanford, A&M, and University of Washington.
Go off,
and
sis.
When I, obviously, any degree from Stanford would do you well in the real world. But I really wanted to go into the oil and gas field, and geology or geophysics was something that was really important to me. And A&M had a better geology department in the field that I wanted to go into. Washington had a better volcanology department, which is like the study of volcanic activity, seismic stuff. So that's one of the reasons why I chose A&M. Also, I knew I wanted to live in Texas, so I knew that my degree would mean more coming from Texas A&M than coming from a school in the Northwest.
Tell us why you really went to A&M. Legacy.
Oh.
You're a family of Aggies.
Well, yeah.
The Colt.
That played a huge role for sure. The Colt got you from birth. Anyways, okay. Degree options. That should be first on your list.
It should be on the list. I don't know if I would say first, but it should be on the list.
Thing number two, when ranking your favorite schools.
I feel like I kind of left out that I don't get to see the list. Like, are you just going to... You're just going to run this.
Well, this episode. Is, if you're listening to this, I did create a recruiting ebook. And if you're listening and you're interested in getting it, just contact us. I'll give it to you. But this is just something that I went through when I was ranking schools. And it just, again, this is all about taking the emotion out and pretending like it's a business deal, because technically it is.
It is all business.
And figuring out what actually is the best fit for you.
Yeah. Okay? All right. Continue with
number
your
two,
list. Sorry.
Location of the college.
Yeah.
Okay, some schools are in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And if you're fine with that, absolutely. If you're not fine with that, probably not a school for you.
Don't go there.
Some schools are in the middle of a city. UT, middle of Boston.
Vomit.
That's not for me, but if that's for you, that could be one of your top schools. Look at, you're living there. It's your home for 4 years, maybe five.
Yeah, understand the surrounding areas, the culture of those areas. I think it's definitely safe to say that, like, it can be a bit of a culture shock for a lot of athletes who go, you know, I mean, like, if, for instance, you're from Texas and you go to Washington, it's going to be a little bit of a different culture there. Which can be great. I think it's good to get outside of your comfort zone and experience different parts of the world and different cultures.
Absolutely.
But if it's something that would be uncomfortable for you, then that's something to consider.
Yeah. Also, location also includes how far you are away from home. Like, is having your parents at every game something that's very important to you? If you go to the school that's halfway across the country, that might not be possible.
Yeah. And I know a lot of you who are in this time are really ready to probably get halfway across the country from mom and dad.
It's possible.
But just remember, at the end of the day, once you have a little bit of freedom and time to yourself, you will have that moment in college where you're like, man, I kind of miss home. I miss mom and dad a little bit.
Maybe you like that. Maybe you don't want to be next to home. Maybe you want to be like in the University of Washington or University of Hawaii. Yeah. Maybe you want to be like unreachable. Then that's school for
Sorry,
you.
Mom and dad.
Just depends on who you are.
If you're a parent listening to this, we're sorry.
All right, next thing. Price. This is probably the most important one.
Yeah, this should have been first on the list, but is this list priority order?
No.
Okay. These all matter.
They all matter.
We will prioritize them.
Yeah.
This is number one. Can I say
price.
Why?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, money doesn't lie. I think that anywhere you go, at the end of the day, if we're talking playing time, this number will back that up.
Maybe.
And I know that there's a lot of different ways around that now with NIL and then just academic scholarships. So, like, just because a college is only giving you, say, 30% for your sport, maybe that's because you took care of business in the classroom. So you're saving them money elsewhere to where they don't
have
to give
you that
much.
It's funny that that's your perspective, because when I think of price, I don't think of the amount of scholarship they give.
Were you talking about something different?
I'm just thinking about how much out of pocket I'm going to have to pay. So, like, a 30% scholarship at TCU right now, which is more expensive than Harvard,
yeah,
is going to mean a lot less.
Yeah.
Then, well, I don't know if it means okay. less.
So I get what you're saying.
So not like percentage of scholarship.
Okay.
Think more about like how much it's actually, how much you're having to put up.
Right.
Like maybe your parents
are
asking.
Which ties into percentage of scholarship, but kinda. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like we talked about in our last episode, how a lot of schools don't offer full rides because there's so many people on the roster at this point. I know NIL is a little bit different now in Power 5, but a lot of players aren't going to play Power 5. The majority of players are not playing Power 5. So.
Yeah, and most players aren't getting full rides, although I do know that has changed drastically in baseball, the amount of scholarships. So maybe more players are getting full rides, but either way, yeah, something to consider is, yeah, how much am I paying after my scholarship?
And that kind of ties into, like, cost of living. So your scholarship might cover your room and board. It might not.
Yeah.
And if you're living in a place, like if you go to UCLA, you're living in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And that is expensive. It's a lot more expensive than somebody like College Station. So
yeah.
Price is something that you'll have to like really be honest about. Like if maybe your parents aren't paying for your college and you're taking out student loans to pay for it yourself, like you're going to have a very real conversation with yourself about what am I actually willing to take out loan-wise. Because it does affect the rest of your life.
Yeah, my brother's still paying off his student loans. But while we're on that topic, might as well also just talk about scholarship amount, unless that's later on the list.
That's kind of later on. Well, not really. Go ahead.
So scholarship amount to me is, and this is why I said this was number one most important. I mean, it's just, it means what they see you're worth as. Like, what is your role on this team?
Mm-hmm.
Can you come in and make an impact? Do we want you? I feel like scholarship money kind of answers all those questions. So like when you're having those questions about the place that you're visiting or considering, money doesn't lie. It never has. And I think that, you know, for instance, Arkansas was the first school I ever talked to. And I was like, sick, I'm going to SEC. This is awesome. And they showed a lot of interest and went on the visit. And then we got into money and it was like, hey, we're going to give you 15%. And I was like, oh, that changes things because 15% of the school like Arkansas is like, well, how many other guys are they bringing in here at 15%? Mm-hmm. And, I was not really in a position where I wanted my parents to have to pay a ton of my college. And so scholarship money was important to me for a lot of reasons, but mostly because I knew that 15% at Arkansas probably didn't mean that they were planning on bringing me in to be a freshman starter. And for me, that was important. And it didn't mean that there wasn't an opportunity. I think anywhere you go, no matter how much money you get, it's on you to go and win a spot. But I think that money shows a coach's and a program's true intent with what they want you to be in their program. And I think that it's just important. It shows.
I totally disagree with you.
I can tell.
I only disagree with you. Why? How can you tell?
You're just looking at me like I'm an idiot.
I don't think you're an idiot.
Well, for instance, let me finish this and then go. UTA, so the Arkansas deal, I could tell that they were not excited to tell me 15%.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that means that they didn't think that I could still come in and win a spot or anything like that. But I'm talking need. That showed me that their need for me coming in wasn't huge. UTA, on the other hand, gives me nearly a full ride, and I think all I had to pay for was like maybe my housing or books, or it was one of those two. And so to me, I'm like, okay, they see enough value in me as a player to give me this much scholarship money. That means they probably have pretty big plans for me. I think every school has big plans for every single person they talk to. They want everybody to come in and be the greatest player ever. But at the end of the day, the money or scholarship amount, I feel like truly backs that up. So UTA backed it up. I knew there was an opportunity and a need for me in that program because of the money that they were willing to give me.
Here's my thing. I want everybody on the team to be just as good as, if not better than me, because I wanted to win a national championship. And maybe it's different for softball because we do have a pro league, but it's very small and there's not a lot of money in it currently. So maybe for baseball, it's different because, you know, the dream is to get drafted and get that big contract and play in the MLB. But for me, like, I don't want everybody on the team to be, and I'm not saying a scholarship makes you less than, but like, I want to have the least scholarship because I want everybody on the team to be that highly recruited that they need that scholarship, that we're being competitive at getting out there and getting the best of the best, because I wanted to win. And obviously, I was lucky. My grandparents started a college fund for me when I was little, so my college was pretty much paid for. I didn't have to really worry about the scholarship number because that money was already in the bank and you could only use it for school. You can't like take it out and use it for anything else. So for me, I was like, I want to win. I'm willing to do whatever I need for this program to make that happen. And we actually ended up giving some money back to the school so that they could go out and get it. I understand not everybody's in that situation. Obviously, I was very extremely blessed and privileged to have that.
So are you saying if you didn't have the grandparent situation?
I'm saying the number, if you're not worried about being able to pay your tuition, I'm saying don't read too much into the actual number they give you as far as their confidence in you. If any school gives you a scholarship, they see confidence in you. They're going to give a scholarship to somebody that they don't think is going to contribute to their program. And I just feel like, obviously, it just depends on your perspective. I think you have a good point. I just don't agree with it. So I respect it, but I don't agree with it. I think that it's more about getting your foot in the door. And I think that you're going to have to prove yourself no matter where you go, no matter how much scholarship they give you. Like, there's some 100%. People that sit the bench with a full ride.
And yeah, but I'm talking from a coach's and a school's perspective and standpoint. If they gave one player 80% scholarship and the other player 15, what, and there was no grandparents covering or any other academic scholarships. It was like, hey, just based off of the baseball or softball alone, we're giving this person 80, we're giving this person 15. You don't think that's because of a higher want for the guy, the 80% guy?
What I'm saying is probably better.
Right.
I know, but that doesn't mean that in 2 years I can't steal a spot.
No, 100%. I'm talking about this from a person getting recruited's perspective about what that money amount says about the program's
What if they use all that money to get a pitcher? It doesn't affect you as an outfielder.
Okay. Yes, I'm talking like, I think we're looking too far into it. If there's two outfielders that they're recruiting and they give 80 to one guy, 15 to the other guy, I'm not saying that means they don't want the 15 guy to come in and whoop butt and win a spot. But I'm saying that they probably want the 80% guy a little bit more because they're willing to spend more money to get that guy.
But timing is a lot of it, right? So like, let's say that they had like this guy on their radar. He'd gone to all their camps or whatever, and they had a closer relationship with that coach. So they knew going into that recruiting class that was the person they wanted. And they came to a tournament and they were walking to a field and they saw you on the field and they were like, oh crap, I need to have that guy. But I already offered this guy 80%. I only have 15% for this guy.
You know what they do?
Could I go back and pull that? I know, but would you want to play for a program like that?
No, that's why I didn't go to Arkansas.
Would you want to play for a program that goes back on their word?
No, that's why I didn't go to Arkansas.
But they didn't take anything from
me. No, because early on it was definitely looking like much more than what they gave me.
Okay.
And then as it came time for it to get real, I could tell something changed, and that number definitely matched the change in their tone of excitement. But
there's a lot more variables, obviously.
I see your point. I just think at the end of the day, if I'm a player and I'm trying to understand a team or a college's need for me in their program, like their true, hey, we see you being this.
And what does that matter? Because to me, I guess that's a question
I'm asking. Don't you want to go somewhere where you feel like, and again, I'm not saying you can't go win a spot anywhere and win a championship anywhere and go have an impact anywhere. But I'm saying I think it's important for players who are going through the recruiting process to go somewhere that they are going to feel needed, valued, and wanted.
School's not
going to
offer you a scholarship if you're not valued.
I think, of course, they value everybody. I'm saying from a standpoint of like, okay, if UTA gave me 30%, I don't think that would necessarily scream, hey, we're bringing you in to come be a freshman starter. And I understand that's on me to go and make that happen. But I'm saying as somebody who's going through this and weighing all the offers from all the schools.
That's definitely part of it, yeah. But I think that's more point. But I think it's less about, I think it's less about their plans for you. And I think it's more about the actual price that's going to cost you. Because it does cost you. Every percent that you don't get in your scholarship, you're paying in tuition.
I think it's strictly about their plans for you.
No.
I think it's mostly about their plans for you. The amount of money a school is going to give you, I think, has everything to do with what they see you being and your value to them. And that's why they're willing to give more money. It's like you would pay somebody more because that person is somebody you see doing a great job
Okay, moving on.
Wait.
No, we're just not going to agree. It's fine. We can respect it. We're just not going to agree on it.
I see your points, though. I do. Okay. I understand.
I see yours, too. All right, competitiveness. So this is like, do you want to go to a school that's consistently competing for national championships, yeah, or do you care at all?
Yeah, no, this one's super important because, like, real quickly back to my thing, like, it also depends on your plans. Like you said with softball, you know, is pro softball something you're really trying to go do, or is it more like, hey, I want to go win a World Series every year, or be in that conversation?
Mm-hmm.
And for baseball, it's a little different because, like, back to my situation, I went to UTA because I saw UTA being a place that could get me developed because of playing time early on, the opportunity for that, because they gave me more money. And that's, no, I'm just kidding. And so I saw that just being a better opportunity for me to develop and go play pro ball, which for me was the plan. That was my dream. That's what I wanted. If that wasn't the case, I probably would have gone to somewhere more, like, if I just wanted to play college baseball at a high level, I would have taken less, gone to Arkansas, hopefully won a spot, and gotten the opportunity to play in the postseason every single year and probably World Series a few times. So it just depends on your plan, but I think competitiveness is a huge selling point.
You have to remember too, and this is just a different perspective, you could go and, you know, play for 3 or 4 years, start, have big plans to go play professionally, and then you have a season / career ending injury, and then it's over for you. So I think competitiveness is really important because if competitiveness is high on your list, and I would say once we get through all 6 of these, you need to rank these in importance for yourself.
For sure.
Because then you can go and, like, cross-check between the colleges that you're interested in. And if, again, it's not about emotions here, it's about just looking at the facts. And I think that you'll end up picking a place that you will end up liking more and have a better experience with when you stick to these things. But I think that competitiveness kind of reminds you to be where your feet are. Because, like, yes, everyone wants to go off to bigger and better things after you graduate from college, but, like, there is nothing as competitive as collegiate baseball and softball.
Yeah.
Maybe postseason baseball. But, like,
you're talking just college, like, softball. After, yeah, after college.
Like, college, yeah, softball is the most competitive, most exciting, most, like, team togetherness that I've ever felt.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
And that is important.
Because I was never in the postseason for baseball, but I would imagine if I was in the postseason for college baseball, it would have felt very competitive. Yeah. I'll say this, even the conference tournament felt pretty competitive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, competitiveness is a huge deal. And will you go somewhere that gives you that opportunity to compete in the funnest times of the year,
mm-hmm,
if that's important for you?
All right, this is number 5. And this one is a little bit different. This is about the coaching staff. So I think that the coaching staff that you are committing to, it's almost like you are marrying the college, but the coaching staff is like your new extended family, like your mother-in-law and father-in-law. because they will determine a lot of your overall experience. And they're the ones with the lineup card. So I think coaching staff is really important. It's important that you gel, maybe not necessarily with them as people, but you gel with their coaching style.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're not going there to be best friends with the coach necessarily. Maybe that's something that's important to you. But in my opinion, I think you're going there to be pushed and to be challenged and to be molded into the player you're wanting to be. And these are the people, the pitching coach, hitting coach, defense coach, head coach, whatever their roles are. These are the people that are, it's their job to get you there.
Yeah. It should get you outside of your comfort zone a little bit, I think, anywhere you go. But it is important that you choose a coaching staff that you feel like, even with the challenging and getting you outside of your comfort zone, has something that you would understand, like something you would align yourself with and be able to buy into.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that should be pretty clear.
Especially if you're a specialty position, like if you are a pitcher, the pitching coach at your college is very, very important. And it is difficult because you could commit and then a year later they're gone.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you're committing to the coaching staff. And you've seen a lot of this if you follow college baseball and softball. Like, a lot of the time when the coach leaves, the players go with them.
Yeah.
And so that relationship is very, very important. It, you know, transcends far beyond just your years playing, hopefully. If it's a good relationship and That's definitely something to think about. Kind of one of the lesser thought about things.
Yeah, no, I was very, one thing I'll say on that topic is that just, you want to get what you're kind of being sold. And so I guess what I'm saying is, you know, are these people the same when I step on campus day one that they were during the recruiting process? Mm-hmm. And this kind of is off topic because it doesn't have to do with their coaching style, but it does have to do with just who they are genuinely. Mm-hmm. And that was one thing that, you know, Fuller Smith, the guy who recruited me, the day I finally said yes and stepped on the campus, his tone of excitement was the same as it was the first time he picked up the phone to call me. Same thing with my head coach. So it was really important for me to, you know, like you said, you're marrying these people for 4 years and you want
fully 4 years.
You want it to be what you want to get into, what you thought you were getting into.
Yeah. I think if you're listening to this and you're unsure, because obviously any coach can kind of put on a face whenever you're at camp or on a visit or whatever.
Coaches are your best friend during the recruiting process. They will make you feel like the most special person in the world. And then you get onto campus day one, you're like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know, coaches switch up sometimes.
Definitely my advice for this would be to go and just first look at former players on social media. Are they going back to their school a lot? Are they involved in the alumni group? Like, is being a part of that school, is being a part of a product of that coaching staff, is that something that they're proud of and that they're still involved with? If the alumni presence is pretty sparse, that's a good indicator that either the school is just garbage or that the coaching staff is a little bit polarizing. And then second, I would contact people who have transferred out, like, and just DM them. You can DM anybody. Just DM them and ask them, hey, I'm recruiting. I just wanted to know if you're comfortable discussing why you left. And if they say the coaching staff is horrible, they made me want to quit softball, that could be like a thing that is like, okay, well,
Yeah. Maybe
I take that into account, but maybe you don't. Maybe you think your experience is going to be different because you're different, and that's totally valid.
Yeah.
But just ask around. Your high school, or not high school, your travel coaches should have pretty good deets on most people. And you also probably have, if you play in an organization that sends people to college, you probably have people in your organization that have gone to that school before. So just ask around.
And one thing I do want to say while we're just on the topic of coaches and coaching staffs, just before I forget it, is like, when you do go on your visits, I think this is really hard because it's scary, but like, ask hard questions. Ask the things that you really want to know. Like, I remember one that I was afraid to ask but needed to ask was like, hey, is there a chance for me to start as a freshman? That was a big deal for me. And of course the answer is yes, anybody should have a chance. Mm-hmm. Right? But you never know. They may be very transparent and be like, no, we're not planning on you coming in and starting as a freshman. It doesn't mean it can't be done, but like, those are just things you want to know. And there's probably a handful of questions that are hard. Mm-hmm. Like that. So just, if you have something that you're afraid to ask, like, you got to get it all out there and you need to know all the information. Cause like we said, you're about to marry these people for 4 years, hopefully. So, you want to know everything that you're getting yourself into. And sometimes that requires asking very difficult questions.
Yeah. All right. Sixth and final thing to think about is playing time. Now, this is the one that for me is difficult to rank high, but my mentality is always just like, I don't care who's in front of me. Like, I'm just going to go do whatever I need to do to make it work.
That's part of the reason why I married you. I love that mentality. And I think that everybody listening to this should have that mentality of like, I don't care what the scholarship number is. Like, to your point earlier, I understand your points there. Yeah. I don't care what the scholarship number is. I don't care if there's a senior in the position that I play. Mm-hmm. I am going to be so good that they cannot keep me off that field. It would hurt the team to keep me off the field. That is the mentality that you have to carry yourself with if you're going to play or do anything at this level. But that being said, there's also, that could be the realistic side of things, because that should be a real way that you carry yourself and believe in yourself. But then there's also the realistic side of like, okay, what are just the basic facts about, you know, what are they saying about my opportunity for playing time? Mm-hmm. Are they saying there's a chance I come in and start as a freshman? Because like I said, there's some schools and coaches that will be like, no, you're not starting as a freshman. And they may mean that. And I know even you would still be like, okay, watch, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how you should be. That's got to be how you should be. But like, in the recruiting process, if I have one school saying that and then another school saying, yeah, we're going to give you this amount and we would like you to come in and start as a freshman, it's like, okay, does that change my opinion at all? And I know you would say no, because anywhere I go, I'm going to go win.
That's not what I was going to say. I think, obviously, it depends on all these other things. Like, if the degree options, the location, the price, the competitiveness, coaching staff, if all that stuff is, like, perfect, exactly how you want it.
Yeah.
And then playing time is kind of up in the air. Like, that's your responsibility.
Yeah.
In my mind, even if I go to a school and they say we're not playing freshmen, like, I will leave no doubt. Like, I will be better than every other person so that it would be stupid for you to not start me. And you have to throw your, I'm not going to play freshman. Like, I think, and again, you have to be realistic about your skills. But I don't think any college recruits somebody with the intent of them not being a full-time starter.
I agree.
And to me, and this is just me personally, to me, I feel like anytime you go to a school and they tell you that they plan on you starting, I think that's a red flag. Because I think that there's a yeah. good chance they're yes. probably playing... telling a lot of other people that too, and maybe they're not, maybe they're just really butt in on you, but like, you don't want a school that's going to be like, yeah, you're going to start as a freshman,
because they don't know that,
because first of all, they don't know how you're going to pan out the next right. couple of years,
yeah.
and two, like, they don't, I don't think that that's a good precedent to set, because literally anything could happen.
Yeah, it's always,
like, you get a transfer, especially the transfer portal the way that it is, like, right. anybody who guarantees you playing time, I think if you go to a coach and you say, like, you talk about asking hard questions, if you go to a coach and they say everyone has to fight for their spot here every single year, that yeah. is like signed, sealed, delivered, sign me up. Like, that yeah. is the kind of coach I want to play for.
Right. And that's actually what I was told when I asked that question of like, hey, is there an opportunity to start as a freshman?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a very, yes, we want that for you. We definitely will give you the opportunity, but it still has to be earned. It was never just like, yeah, we're bringing Duh. You to start, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's, I agree to that point. I think, you know, you don't just recruit somebody and then just because they're a freshman decide, no, not this
yeah,
year.
It's like, just,
if I got a freshman that comes in and they put in the work and they're a dog and obviously make this team better, they're going to be playing.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I agree. But back to answer the question, like, playing time, what's important about it? How would you answer that?
I would say it depends on personnel that's there. So, like, let's say you're a junior right now and they have a freshman All-American that right. just finished up their year, like, you may have to go and understand that your, first of all, your back gets you in the lineup. So that's like a non-negotiable, but I think playing time for me refers more to, am I going to play the position I want to play?
Right.
Because I'll do whatever it takes to get in the lineup. Like, if I will hit it till my hands bleed, like, I do not care. Yeah. I will do whatever it takes.
And if you hit, you don't sit.
But if I have to play right field, is that a deal breaker for me?
Right.
Not, no, not on right field. I'm a middle infielder.
No, you hate right field.
So I think playing time, don't ask yourself, will I play or not? Because again, that responsibility will always be up to the player.
Yeah.
And there are a few situations where the coach is playing somebody because they're their favorite and statistically they're not the best. And if you're in a situation like that, that's what I would say, transfer portal. But
yeah.
if they're, the burden of proving yourself is yours,
mm-hmm.
and the playing time for me is more about, are you comfortable playing a position that you have not played before? And can you still feel confident going into that, knowing that might be the case?
Yeah. 100%. It's a great answer.
What would you rank yours? What's number one importance for you? Price still?
Well, it for the reasons that almost that you named, honestly, like, price still so that I could go to college for free.
Mm-hmm.
Not because, I mean, yes, there's a bit of it that definitely for me felt, I don't even want to say important, because as we've talked about this, like, yeah, it reminds me, like, hey, no matter where I went, no matter what money was given to me, I was still going to work the way I worked and go and win a spot. But it definitely made the decision with what my goals and plans were in the game of baseball to go and develop and get out and go play pro baseball. For me, that price or that scholarship amount showed me that, hey, the likeliness of me probably playing as a freshman or their want for me to play as a freshman because of how much money they're giving me, it just kind of like bolstered my confidence there. And I know you hate that, but I think that's just the hard, honest truth for a lot of people is, one, a lot of people need money to go. That's why they play college sports, is so that they have the opportunity to go to college, because
definitely
a lot of people, you know, can't afford it without that. And so that was a big goal for me, was to get the scholarship money that would allow my parents to finally take a little bit of a breather after paving the way for me with time and money for the last 16 years of my life. And then And then, yeah, beyond that, like, I just think that it was a really telling thing to me when they were saying, hey, we're going to give you this much. That, to me, just showed they have big plans for me.
So how would you rank yours? Price number one, what's next?
I don't know that I would say price number one, but it's up there. I don't remember all six of them.
Degree options, location, price, competitiveness, coaching staff, playing time.
Coaching staff, number one. Price two, playing time three, location four. What else?
Degree options and competitiveness.
Degree option. Oh, shoot. God, that's hard.
Just do it.
I guess I'll say... I'm going to sound so bad, but degree options sixth, competitiveness five, only because I was focused on playing pro baseball.
Okay.
If that was not my goal, competitiveness would be much higher on the list.
Okay. Mine was degree options number one. Probably, this sounds crazy, location second. Like, I'm really big on where I live. Like,
yeah.
I want home to feel like home.
Yeah.
And my grandma and grandpa lived in College Station, so location was huge for me. So, degree options, location, competitiveness. I really wanted to go in and like, be in the College World Series. That's, yeah, like, dream.
And you did that, by the way.
True.
And you hit a bomb in the College World Series, by the way.
Coaching staff. And, I mean, I really did enjoy my time at A&M. I think it was a good decision for me.
Yeah.
Coaching staff. And then playing time and then price. Price was last again.
You're so snobby. No,
my grandpa played four sports in college, and he played sports to go to school and have it paid for because he wouldn't have been able to afford it otherwise.
Yeah.
My dad, kind of a similar situation. He probably would have found a way to pay for it because I think student loans were more accessible then, but definitely like choosing to play sports so that college is paid for.
Yeah.
And he was a military guy, so that was obviously very important. But they picked a way for me to not have to worry about that, which was wonderful. So yeah, degree options was definitely number one. And if you're going to a specialty, like doctor, lawyer,
yeah,
engineering, like those
it's
things,
definitely important.
Degree options are very important.
For sure.
So. Yeah, those are my
The
six.
Reason I said last there is because I was just, again, I wanted to
we
just
understand.
Play. I went to school
your
to play
job.
Sports. I didn't go and do sports to play school.
So if you're listening to this and you're a parent of a player or you are a player, go ahead, rank these six: degree options, location, price, competitiveness, coaching staff, playing time. And then rank the schools on that. Like, maybe A&M is one of your options, but the coaching staff is not something you gel with. Maybe the coaching staff in A&M's, for baseball at least, there's like been like a rotating door these past like 3 or 4 years. So if that scares you, then maybe if coaching staff is your number one, then maybe A&M's not for you. So
think about
the colleges against your list.
Think about the culture too. I actually heard something that totally touches on this recently, and I'm not going to name any names, but somebody who had some transferring did really well their freshman year, so opened up some doors for themselves, and then, you know, was offered in multiple different regions of the country,
mm-hmm.
and got an offer from a school in a region where that culture just necessarily didn't really fit that person's...
Remote location?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And school, but didn't really fit that person's maybe, I don't want to say comfort zone, because I don't know why, but just like... they didn't want to go there because they just didn't really feel like that culture was something that they would thrive in. So it was like made sense. And I get that. But also I'd say like push yourself to maybe try and expand the horizon
a
little bit.
Right? You have to rank these for what you need.
And right.
You know the conditions in which you thrive, hopefully.
Yeah.
And so you have to be honest with yourself about where these things stand in your list. And if there's a... If school is perfect in every single way except for one of these things, you have to determine, is it worth it for it not to be exceptional in that one thing? If
right.
it is, then go there. If not, then there's plenty of schools out there.
Yeah, and there's plenty of schools out there. We'll probably check all the boxes and rank kind of high, and then from there you just kind of pick your favorite.
Just don't forget that you are recruiting them in a very similar way they're recruiting you.
Yes.
Like, obviously, you should be grateful, and you are lucky to be able to chase your dream to the next level. However... their job depends on their performance, so they need you just as much as you need them. And don't be afraid to go into visits, into phone calls, asking these questions, because again, this is your decision, this is your career, and it's important that you think about these things before you make too many decisions.
Yeah. Last thing I want to say, and the reason why is because this was just a huge part of my picking, is go on as many visits as you possibly can to the schools that you realistically see yourself playing at. And I am a true believer that when you get to the place that you are supposed to be at, you will know. And I had never heard of UT Arlington before and was really not all that interested until Fuller Smith did a great job recruiting me and making me excited about the opportunity to go and see the school. But once I got on that campus and saw the facilities, which I had no idea about, saw the size of it, had no idea. It was a nice campus. I just had no idea. And once I got there and met the coaches in person and saw the multi-million dollar new locker room and the hitting indoor, my God, I walked into that place. I was like, I get to spend every night in this place if I want, whenever I want. It was just like, I knew without a doubt leaving that campus that day, and I had more visits to go on to schools that I was really considering, but I knew leaving UTA, I was like, this is where I'm going. And so I think it's important to go on as many visits as you can, and I truly believe that you will get the gut feeling and know where you're supposed to be once you do all that. So that would be number one on my list, is follow your gut. That's what made me make my decision more than anything. So, all right, 41 minute episode. Nice. Ryan is squirming on the monitor, so we should probably wrap this up. But that is another episode of the Retired Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. And if you haven't yet, go check out Recruiting Tips episode 1, so that it makes this episode make a little more sense. All right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Bye.